Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter. We'll start in verse 1 and read down through verse 8. Psalm chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And we'll read this passage responsively, so if you'd join me on the second verse. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine is increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege we have to gather here in a place that's ready for the preaching of thy word. Now may our hearts be ready. May we even now quieten ourselves, and may we yield ourselves, our ears, our hearts to thy word. We pray that you'd anoint our preacher, give him your power, that as he speaks, we might listen and learn and become more like you. We sure do love you and pray your blessing upon this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm very proud of Jimmy. He's one of my voice students. I'm doing better and better each time. He's gotten over his shyness, and for that I'm grateful. I'll read one verse to you this morning, and we'll refer to dozens of other verses. The Bible says in Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I call the sermon this morning just one word. I just call it safety. Safety. My grandson some months ago was with me, and we were goofing off, and he had gotten into the pocket of my sports coat that I had carried with me on a Sunday. Sandy Hess, one of our faithful members, every Sunday comes and hands me a big handful of Lifesavers. They're mints. And do any of you ever get any of those from her? Sure, the ones with the bad breath. Now I see what she's been doing. My grandson had gotten into my jacket and grabbed out some of those Lifesavers, and he wanted some candy. And so I opened one up, and I was getting ready to teach him a little safety lesson about it. I was trying to tell him that there is a hole in the middle of a Lifesaver because it's a safe candy. So if you swallow it, whole and it got lodged in your throat, you could still breathe, still an air passageway. That's why they were created like that. Well, I gave him one, and I was getting ready to talk to him about it, and this is what it did. Right away, I didn't get a shot at teaching him the lesson. So I gave him another one. And I said, now, here's what we're going to do. And you know what he did? He crunched down on it. He eliminated that thing immediately. I tried through about 7 of those things to teach him the safety lesson. But it didn't work because he bit down and crunched every one of them. Of course, by the time you do that, the air is going to definitely get through that throat and down to your lungs. Now, today's sermon is somewhat the same in this sense. I can give you some lessons about safety today, but you'll have to choose whether you claim them as your own or not. I want to say some things to you about this subject of safety. And we, you and I, we have a tremendous, tremendous promise from God. He said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. God has promised here safety. It's available for me. It's available for you. But we'll have to claim it. We'll have to believe it. We'll have to receive what God promises. Psalm chapter 4 is an interesting chapter in the Bible. It's actually connected to Psalm 2 and 3. David, the one that God used to pen this psalm, had been betrayed. David has hidden in a place called Mahanaim. David was a bit in distress when this is happening. In verse number 2, it tells us that someone had taken his glory and shamed him with it. Then when you get to verse number 6, it actually uses the words, who shall show us any good? In other words, David felt like bad had come his way. He was in some distress, according to verse 1 and verse number 2. Someone had taken something that was good and ended up shaming David with it. In verse number 8 there that we read earlier, it says, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And he said, because, Lord, you are the one that will make me to dwell in safety, and you are the one that will help me, he said, because of that, I will lay down in peace. He said, I'm going to be able to rest, and I can rest in peace, because, God, I know that though around me there are distresses, I have you, and you're the one that will help me to rest, and you're the one that's going to provide my safety. He said, I'm going to be able to sleep, because I know you're there, God. And here's the great thing about God. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And you might watch out for me, and I might watch out for you and try to keep each other safe, but we do sleep, like a couple of you are right this very second. But we, as we keep watch, as we are walking guard around one another, there's that fear that one of us could go to sleep, but God doesn't go to sleep. God's always awake, and God's always watching out for us. It says, Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell safely. Folks, so you know, all safety is from God. All safety is from God. We give man credit, and I know that God uses man to help us stay safe. But let me remind all of us, safety comes from God. And our God watches out for us far more than what we realize. And God is keeping you far safer than what you realize. And God has blessed you far more than what you realize. And while you and I may thank one another for moments of safety that man has provided us, let me tell you, you ought to thank God that God said, I'm going to provide safety for you. Your God provides safety. Throughout the Scripture, we see how God has provided safety for us. There are many biblical descriptions of his desire to provide that safety. For instance, the Bible tells us that God is our shield. It says in Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God said, I'll be like a shield for you. The Bible says God is like a rock in a way to protect us. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Here God said, I'm like a rock. A rock that can't be penetrated, where people can't get to you. The Bible says that our God is our refuge. Deuteronomy 33:27, it says, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. God said, I'm your refuge. God said, I'm like a rock. I'll protect you. I'll give you a haven. He said, I'm your shield. He is our fortress, according to 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. It says that he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. We're talking about the safety that God provides for us. The Bible says in Psalm 28:7 that he is our strength. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise thee. He's my strength. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. He's my rock. He's my shield. He is the shadow of wings, our protection. Listen to this. Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. That reference there is like a bird taking its baby chicks and pulling them in close, and a mama bird wrapping her big wings around that baby and keeping that baby close, and you are like one of God's baby chicks, and he draws you in, and God said, I'll take my wings and I'll wrap them around you and I'll keep you safe. He said, I will be your shield. He said, I will be your rock. He said, I will be your refuge. He said, I will be your fortress. He said, I will be your strength. He said, I will be those big strong wings that wrap around you and keep you safe. He said, I will be your defense. In Psalm 59:16 it says, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Here God said, I'll be there and I'll be your defense. Then he said, I'm your high tower. In Psalm 61:3 it says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. That tower up high, that tower that could see out into the distance and see if danger was approaching or the enemy was approaching. And in the high tower, obviously, up away from the danger of sword and the high tower of God's protection, he said, I'll be your hiding place. Psalm 119:114, it says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He said, I'm going to be your stronghold. In Nahum 1:7, he said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You see, God is the one that provides all safety. All safety. He said in Psalm 4:12, thou, Lord, only. And then he refers to that thing called safety. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There's so many things that could protect us, but the ultimate protector is our God. See, God is the universe's OSHA director. He's going to keep us safe. God's our seatbelt during the time of trouble. God is the one that provides the child-proof security caps in our spiritual lives. God is our guardrail while we're going down the path of life. God is that safety harness that keeps us from falling. God is our spiritual protective eye gear that keeps our eye from being put out by the devil and the devil's ways. God is our waterside lifeguard to keep us from drowning in the burdens of life. God is our shin guard when the devil's kicking at us. God is our steel-toed boots when life wants to tromp on our foot and damage us. God is our smoke alarm to keep the devil's fires from burning up our life. God is our catcher's mask when the curveball of life comes and could possibly strike us in the face. God's our football helmet that might protect our minds from those things that would hurt us. God is our passenger side airbag. You say, no, Lord, that's my wife. No, God's our passenger side airbag. God is our safety. God is our safety. It said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. It is God that provides our safety. And God has safety for you, and God has safety for me. Now, let me show you some things in the scripture, and we'll make this subject very, very practical and very easy for us to understand. But the whole sermon is called safety. First of all, let me say, God offers safety to those who are mourning. God comes to those that are mourning, and he says, I have safety for you. Those of you that are grieving, those that lose loved ones, and someone that's passed on and passed over to glory land, God comes along and he says, I can offer you safety while you miss those that have gone on before. He said, but Brother Owens, does he offer safety to those who have passed? They're in heaven. They're as safe can be. You don't have to worry about them. They're fine. They're safe, sheltered in the arms of Jesus Christ. But then he turns around, he says, those of you that are mourning, those of you that are grieving, he says this in Job 5:11. He said, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. God said, I will provide safety to those that mourn. And Job would know. Job would know something about this thing called mourning. Job would know something about this thing called grief. He had many over which he could mourn. He had many about which he could grieve. If you remember correctly, he had 10 children, all of which were taken in death. He had servant after servant after servant after servant. And I don't mean somebody that was just in his employment that he didn't know who they were and didn't care about them. He had many of his servants that were his dearest of friends that died in a time of difficulty and died in a time when the devil was testing and giving Job a hard time. And Job understood what it was like to mourn. And Job understood what it was like to grieve. So many times I think we forget when we hear the story of Job and he loses 10 of his children all in one day. We forget that there was a funeral service. We forget that Job went down to the cemetery and he visited those grave markers of his children. And then in that, can you imagine where they buried those 10 kids? Job had hundreds probably of his servants that were buried in the same area. And Job could go from grave marker to grave marker to grave marker to grave marker and grave marker. And oh, his heart was heavy. And Job loved those people and he were there. He was the leader of those people. But Job came along and God used him to say these words, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. Job was able to testify. He said, people I love have died. People I love have passed on. People I love are now gone and I don't get to be with them anymore. But God has provided me with safety, said Job. I can't imagine Job, as he would hire new servants to take the old one's place and take the time card out of the clock, and how it must have broken his heart because they had passed. I can't imagine Job going through his children's the closets and the dresser drawers. And so often when you lose someone, you begin to give some clothing away and you try to make use of the things that belong to the loved one. Job went through it over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not sure there's anybody in the Bible that the Bible specifically tells us suffered more personal close loss than Job. That's why we exalt him as the great sufferer in the Bible. But I'll tell you, he told us that God will provide safety when you're mourning. And somehow, folks, we get the idea that if someone passed away last week or last month, a sermon like this is for that one who we just lost, or the family of the one that just lost someone in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Folks, there are people in here that have lost loved ones through the years, and their hearts are still tender, and there's still an empty place at the kitchen table, and there are still people that mourn a death of a loved one from 25 and 30 years ago. This is not just for those of us that have suffered loss in recent days. Hey, this safety is for all of us that mourn. Hey, widow, God comes to you today and he offers you safety. Safety within the love of God. Hey, widower, God comes and says, I realize your wife has passed, and I realize you're all alone. And God says, I bring to you a certain safety. God said, he will help those with safety that are mourning. Do you mourn the loss of a parent today? God offers you safety. Have you lost a child by way of miscarriage? Have you had to go to that terrible, terrible situation of a funeral of one of your own children? And everybody who has outlived their children would tell you one of the heaviest burdens a parent can face is outliving their children. Most parents expect to go to heaven prior to their children rather than after. And, oh, it's so heavy. Mom and dad begin to think, why not me? Well, why wasn't I the one that passed? And my child had so much life ahead of them. We'll never understand it all until we get to glory. But God has a purpose. But in it all, God comes and he says to those that mourn, he said, I want to provide safety to you in your mourning. Hey, may I say, let this be a warning to anyone who ever takes advantage of the one that's mourning. God says here, he provides safety to the ones that mourn. And folks, let it be a warning to everybody. When someone is mourning, when someone is grieving, their heart is extra tender. Their emotions, there's a little touch maybe of confusion that goes into it. And you want to be careful how you treat that mourning widow and how you treat that mourning widower. You be careful how you treat someone that has lost a loved one. Their hearts are tender. Life has become a little empty and overwhelming. Oh, you better watch out now. God said, I will provide safety for those that mourn, which means this. If you ever take advantage, if you ever hurt someone that is going through the mourning process, God is the one that plans to provide safety for that person. You don't want to get on God's poor list or bad list, because God said he would provide safety for the mourning one or the grieving one. And so to those today that suffer, and right now, maybe people don't even realize how deeply you're suffering and how bad you miss the one that you love. I remind you of something. God knows how badly you hurt. God knows that empty feeling. And God also provides a safety in a very special way to those that mourn. Not only do we find that God offers safety to those that mourn, we also find he offers safety to the poor and to the needy. He offers safety to the poor and needy. Listen to this verse. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 5, it says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Notice, God said, there are poor people out there. There are needy people out there. God promised that he would provide a certain type of a safety for the poor and the needy. He used these words at the end of that verse. He said, safety from him that puffeth at him. You know what it's like when you get puffed up? The Bible talks about people that get puffed up. They get cocky. They get arrogant. They get full of themselves. You know what God's saying here? Those of you that are full of yourself and you have a little bit of success in life and you look down your nose at the poor, God said, you better watch out, puffed up one. I am going to provide safety for the poor. When you're quick to belittle them or mock them or tease them, God said, I step in. I'll take care of the needy that can't take care of themselves. I'll take care of the poor that can't take care of themselves. And you get these people in life that get a little puffed up. They're better than the rest of us, and they've got more than the rest of us. And God said that pride there, you're going to get yourself in trouble with God, because God becomes the defender of the poor and the needy. You may think that you're special because you have some fancy clothes. God said, if you let your clothes go to your head and you get all puffed up about how special you are, and then you start looking down on the poor and you start mistreating the needy, God said, I'm going to protect the poor from your arrogant, puffed up ways. If you mock the poor, God will give them protection from you. That's not a good sentence for one to have placed upon themselves. The fact that God has to defend the poor from you and the needy from you. safety goes to the poor. And let me say this to those, you say, Brother Owens, I would consider myself poor. You have to understand something. That doesn't mean God's going to pay your entire way. Poor people ought to do everything poor people can do to advance themselves and do better and make a way for themselves. So if you're sitting out there saying, that's right, everybody take care of me, that is not what God intended in your attitude. God here is trying to protect you while you're trying to make your way. You may have less than somebody else. God's not condoning laziness. But if a poor person, and so those that can't help themselves, God said, I am going to give you a certain kind of a safety. I'm going to watch out for the poor. I'm going to watch out for the needy. And it's sad to say that there are actually people in this life who have had the blessing of God on them, and they have experienced some success. They let it go to their head. They've forgotten their success is because of the mercy and the grace of God, and they actually take their success, and they belittle those who are poor and needy. And God said, those of you that get puffed up, you know, I'm going to make sure I guard and protect the poor. That means safety to the bus kid who has no choice. You, those of us that are in this building, and I know we have a couple hundred young people that are over in their children's churches, but let me say to all of us in here, it ought not ever be so that maybe some that had a little better training and had a few extra bucks in their pocket and grew up in a home where mom and dad loved them, it ought never be so that a young person that's had some liberty mocks and teases and belittles with intent to hurt and harm some poor bus kid that comes in here. Ought not ever happen. And young people, you're asking for trouble, not with your pastor, though you may get in trouble from your pastor for it, but you're not asking for trouble from your pastor. There's somebody bigger that sees everything you do and everything you say. You should never take advantage of the poor. You should never take advantage of some poor bus kid. I had a very, very trustworthy and dependable part of our congregation come to me, an adult. And they said that one of the people that were riding our bus came to them and said, I'm not coming back. And this adult relayed this story to me. And this bus rider that spoke to this adult said, I'm not coming back. And the adult said, why? Said, because when I come, people tease me. They tease me about my clothes, and they tease me about myself. And that adult said to them, well, if you'll tell us who, we'll take care of that. That adult came to me and said to me, Brother Owen, somebody's teasing this person and giving them a hard time, a poor person, to the point they're not sure they want to come back to church. Let me say to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, that is filthy and rotten. And what a terrible way to treat somebody. And I don't think the mass of our congregation is like that. I think it's one out of 1,000 a day, but one's too many. Don't you mistreat the poor. Don't you mock people. Hey, just because you've got a pair of shoes and they don't have holes in the bottom, that didn't make you special. That didn't make you special at all. Matter of fact, I think Jesus looks down and looks at somebody that came to church today and they don't have much and they don't have any money and they don't know how to take care of themselves. I think Jesus in a special way says, that's one of those that in a special way I died for. Hey, let's give safety to the poor and needy. God said, I'm going to give safety to those that mourn, and I'm going to give safety to the poor and safety to the needy. Hey, here's what I think. I think when a church guards and protects the poor and the needy, God is more apt to guard and protect that church. Our church should follow God's example and provide safety for the poor and safety for the needy. I believe that you and I should do what we can to follow God's example and provide safety to the poor and safety to the needy. I was thinking the other day, I had a bus kid come to me. Bus kid that's faithful to church, loves the Lord, and said, preacher, said, my mom and dad don't come to church, and I'd like to go to Martinsburg Christian Academy. I'd really like to do that. Pray with me, and I'm going to. Somebody here could help them. Somebody wants to go to school. I thought, wow. Wow. Really, really broke my heart. I mean, they already had summed it up. My mom and dad don't come to church. My mom and dad aren't going to help me. I don't have any way. And what they were saying is, preacher, I'm poor. I don't have any way to get closer to the Lord unless somebody helps me. And that's what this church is all about. That's what it's all about. If you have nice clothing, I'm glad for you. And most of us do. And if you got a nice car, I'm glad for you. And if you got a nice house, I'm glad for you. But that doesn't put you on a pedestal around here. And we're not going to look down our nose at anybody. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And God said, I want to provide a special kind of a safety to those that are poor. The poor are not to be used, but they're to be loved and they're to be helped. And then I thank God for our bus ministry and these big red, white, and blue buses out here. And let me tell all of you something. Those buses run so we can bring people to church so we can love on them and we can help them and we can help change their lives. That's what they're there for. And may all of us be cautious that we never use people for anything, but that we serve God. Hey, really what's supposed to happen is people are supposed to use us. We're not supposed to use people. We're supposed to be available to serve and to love and to protect. And that's what God says. God said, I'm offering safety. God said, let's pull together and offer safety to those that mourn. Let's offer safety to the poor and to the needy. And that's what God offers. Thirdly, may I say, I think He offers safety to those who live according to His Word. He offers safety to those that live according to His Word. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18, wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land of safety. There's that word again. We're looking for safety. We're looking for that protection. And God here mentions His statutes and His judgments. He said, now, I want you to do them, and then you will dwell in the land, and there'll be safety. It's not just a matter of knowing His Word, but living His Word that provides a special safety. See, there are all sorts of people that know how they ought to be living, and they're not. You say, well, I don't feel safe right now. Are you living what you've been taught? He makes a certain promise to those that know and live what they know. You say, Brother Owens, it seems like this person right over here is safer than I am right now. Yeah, this person right over here does not know what you know, and God, in His mercy, is giving them a little extra protection, but you know what's right, and you've not chosen to live what's right, and as a result of it, you've stepped out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. You say, why does that person over there seem to have fewer problems than I? They don't know what you know. You are living in rebellion to the Word of God. You are almost rejecting some of the safety that's being made available to you. His Word provides safety. Can I tell you something? You want safety from the diseases of immorality? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. See, I'd like to be safe. Then do right morally. The Word of God provides safety. You might think, oh, you're just trying to steal all of our fun. Well, if you think to have a sexually transmitted disease is fun, then I guess, yeah, we're trying to steal your fun. You don't understand what God's trying to do for you. God's trying to help you. And so God comes along and God says, through my word and obedience to it, I will provide a unique safety from the destruction of the rage that comes, that goes along with getting drunk. I used this verse last Wednesday night. The Bible says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. People get drunk and they become abusive. Now, if you would obey God's word, you would find safety in it. There's safety for the wife. Hey, man, it's not just a wife. I've watched women get drunk and slap the snot out of their husband, slap the snot out of their children. Let me tell you something. God said, you tip up the bottle, it's going to create rage, and if you do that, you become abusive. So what's the deal? God's coming to us and saying, if you'll obey my word will produce safety. It'll give you safety from ending up with a disease that you don't want. It'll provide safety so you don't get beat or you don't beat somebody because of your drunkenness. The Bible teaches us, if you tithe, that God will bless you for your tithing. Malachi 3:11, God promised to rebuke the devourer in your life if you will do the thing of tithing. In other words, if you don't give what you're supposed to give to God, God said there's going to be things that are going to deplete or take your funds away from you. And God said, I am offering you safety. Obeying God produces safety. Don't be shocked when you stop obeying God that negative things in life don't start happening. Say, you trying to scare me? Oh, no. God can take care of that. He'll scare you just fine. You say, well, I thought that was all coincidence. No, it's all scriptural. It's all scriptural. Don't you, most of you that know the story of Jonah, God asked Jonah to do something. Jonah didn't do it. The minute Jonah started moving away from the will of God, everything in his life started falling apart. Everything. Didn't know who his friends were. You're in a real mess when everybody that you're with throws you overboard. That's what happened to him. Next thing you know, a whale comes and swallows him. Now he's in the belly of a whale, backslidden. Why? Well, he had stepped away from some of the safety that God had provided. And so, I say, God comes to us. He said, I want to give you safety. He said, I want to provide safety to those that mourn. I want to provide safety to the poor and to the needy. I'll provide a certain kind of a safety as you obey my word. Then he says, I'll provide safety to those that trust me. To those that trust me. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There's that key word. God said, if you'll trust me, I'll keep you safe. Notice he said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Folks, if you want to fear somebody, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear him. He's the one that we ought to fear. He said, though, if you'll trust me, I will provide safety. Trust him with your eternity. I'll talk about this again in a moment. Trust him with your eternity. There are some of you, you trusted Christ. You knew you were a sinner. You knew there was a penalty for your sin. You knew that Jesus paid that penalty. You understood what salvation was. You prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. That means he saved you. Trust him. Now, just believe you're saved. Believe you're saved. Some of you just always say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. Am I? Am I not? Am I? Am I not? If you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved. You say, well, I'm not sure I. Yeah, when you got saved, you weren't depending on you. You were depending on him. And he never lost one. Never. Safety. There's safety in salvation through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If you're struggling with safety issues in your life, trust Jesus with your eternity. And I'm talking about those of you that are saved. You've trusted Christ. If you ask him to save you, he's not an Indian giver. He's not a liar. He's not a fake. If you ask him to save you, he saved you and he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there and you're saved. Accept it. Get some peace about it. He said, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You see, if we trust God, there's a safety involved in it. Hey, trust him with your money. He's not a part of our national debt crisis. There's not a clock in heaven where there's a countdown wondering if heaven's economy is going to be shut down because they don't raise the debt ceiling. Not in heaven. Not in heaven at all. Trust God with your money, folks. Trust God. Trust him with it. You say, well, I'm not going to give to God like I'm supposed to. I want to see what happens on this vote and see what happens with the debt ceiling. You better trust God. That's what you better do. Remember, he's the last one you want on your bad side about your finances. And there's some of you, you'd be doing far better than what you are if you just obey God. Quit making judgment calls about what you give and do what God commands you to do and show that you trust him and things will pan out just fine. He said, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Put your eternity in his hands. You'll be safe. Put your money in his hands. You'll be safe. Hey, trust him with your heart. He says in the book of Proverbs, he says, my son, give me thine heart. Folks, I promise you, there's some of you holding out on God. Give him your heart. You say, I don't want my heart to be broken. He's not a heartbreaker. He's a heart maker. He's not out to hurt your heart. He's out to heal your heart. And some man or some woman may break your heart, but our God knows what he's doing with your heart, giving your heart. And then that's for some of you that you're obedient on the surface and you do what you're told to do, but you don't like a lick of it. You're rebellious on the inside. Why don't you go ahead and get happy on the inside and be obedient on the outside and give God what's inside you, not what you're just showing the rest of us on the outside of you. Trust God with your heart. In it is safety. He said, trust me and I'll provide safety. Trust me with your eternity. There's safety. He said, trust me with your money. There's safety. Trust me with your heart. There's safety. Trust him with your time. If you give God your time, it's not a waste of time. There are a lot of things you can give your time to. It's a waste of time. No doubt about it. You can trust God with your time. Your time is your life. Hey, trust him with your burdens. He'll see you through. God will see you through. You know, when people turn to liquor, when people turn to drugs, when people turn to things like that, they're hoping that those things will see them through their burdens. They're hoping that those things will see them through their tough times. And many a person takes on a burden. They go out and get drunk. They go out and get high. I've got news for you. There's something far better than that. It's Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is no burden that you bear that your God can't get you from point A to point B. He can get you across the finish line. You can make it. You can take it. But you got to trust him with your burdens. Trust him with your burdens. Trust him with your time. Trust him with your heart. Trust him with your money. Trust him with your eternity. Why? Because he said, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Folks, just so you know, God's got everything under control. Trust him. Just trust him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Trust him with your family. He loves your family more than you do. Trust him with your future. He's already there. Trust him with your body. He's the one that created it. Trust him with your mind. Memorize the scripture. Think on him. He'll keep your mind stable. He can keep your mind from becoming depressed. He can. He's the God that created your mind. Our lack of trust creates danger. I promise you. He said, if you'll trust in me, there is a safety that is produced in your faith and trust in God. About a week ago, I was getting ready to go out onto the highway. As I was sitting there, I noticed that a mother had pulled over with her van. It was very obvious to me what she was saying and what was going on. She got out of her van. I watched her. I could almost hear her, which was she was talking really loud. She had a child in the car with her. And I watched her, and I watched her expressions with her body in her hands. She was saying to the child, you sit still. Stay in the van. I'm going to the back. I think she wondered if she had taillights or something. Now, we're talking about out on 81. She was getting ready to step out of the van, to run around to the back of her van. She said to her child, you sit still. And she was saying, it's safest right where you're at. Mama was saying, trust me. I know what I'm doing. Sit where you're at. I'll go take care of the problem. I watched Mama. She climbed out of the van, shut the door real quick, ran around to the back, and the kid panicked. Now, the kid didn't run out onto the highway or anything, but the kid panicked, popped the door open, ran around back, and Mom about went ballistic. She's out there. She said, I told you to sit still. You could have been hit by a car. What are you doing? And you know what, folks? A lot of you are that way. God says to you, you trust me. You trust me. You sit still there, and you trust me. And sometimes when God is not as easily accessible to us, when he doesn't solve our panic problem immediately, we freak out. We jump out of his protection. We start running around. We start making bad decisions. We start heading in a direction we shouldn't. And God, our heavenly Father, says, what are you doing? Get back in my will. Get right back in there. You, because of your panic, just put yourself in harm's way. You see, God gives us instruction about how to stay out of danger. Many of us have watched it happen. Where The parent knows better than the child. How many parents in here have said to your children, whatever you do, don't do this, you'll get hurt? And within minutes, dumb kid. Don't you think God every once in a while looks at you and says, dumb kid, I told you not to do that. You see, God's offering safety. He said in our text verse, and David used it, God says, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. God said, when you face death and you're facing a mourning or a grieving time, he said, I'll be there. I'll be your safety. He said, when we face the issue of being poor and needy, God said, I'm there. I have a special safety for those that can't take care of themselves. He said, I'm going to give you safety. If you'll obey my word, I'll give you safety. If you'll trust me. But you got to trust me. You got to listen to your daddy on the freeway of life and sit there in his will and let him take care of it. Don't panic and get to running around and make things worse. Not only that, I think he offers us safety if we'll go forward in his will. Go forward in his will. There's some of us, we're almost, you say, I feel like I'm getting shot at the devil. Sometimes it's not good to be a set and duck and to be surrounded. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, but when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. These people are surrounded, and God said, you may feel surrounded, but it's time for you to go forward. The children of Israel faced the Jordan River in this story. God had promised them the promised land, victory. They had to cross the Jordan River. They had to do something that was new to them. It took faith. You know what God said? He said, your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth, you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. Say, what was the key? He said, but when ye go over Jordan, he said, you're going to have to go forward if you want all the safety that you have coming to you. God wanted them to move forward. Here's what happens. Folks, the average Christian, we get comfortable. We get real comfortable. We're afraid to launch out and do something new for God and launch out to go to a new level in our Christianity. We fear change. And I'm not talking about, we're not changing from the old time ways. We're not going to change a lick. We're sticking right where we're at. It's brought us safe thus far. We're not going to change it. But I'm talking about taking our Christianity to a new level, doing something more for God, growing in the Lord. You see, we get comfortable. We begin to fear change. So we don't go forward because of our fear of change and our attachment to comfort. And as a result of that, we don't have as much protection as what we should. God told these people, I want you to cross that Jordan River. Yes, it seems a little risky, but take a chance and trust God and go forward for God. I think there's somebody here today. You are limiting the protection of God in your life because you're not willing to go forward. Brother Gewin, Brother and Mrs. Gewin, it won't be many weeks now, my friend. You're going to go over the pond. You're going to Israel. That's our missionary, and they're going to Israel. And I know it's bound to be a bit scary. And I know for both your wife and your kids, it's a challenge. But let me say something to you, Brother Gewin. There's no place in the world where you'll be better protected than in the will of God. I've watched many people start backing off on God and backing off on God, saying, oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the change. I'm afraid to step up. I'm afraid to go forward. I want to tell you something. If God's protection was expecting you to go forward and you back off, you may walk right out from underneath some of the protection that he had planned to provide when you go forward. Go forward. Go forward. When it was time for me, I'd lived in Indiana for 40 years of my life. When it was time for me to leave Indiana, my home, my church, all my family, all my wife's family, and to pack up and leave, it was scary to me. But I knew that if I would do what God wanted me to do, he'd keep me safe. He would keep me safe. Now, You say, well, it's my will that I'm going to go do. Well, that's not going to keep you safe at all. And when I came here, God has provided me the protection that I needed. God has a way of protecting us when we do His will. So you say, why do you say this? I say it because there's somebody in here. It's time for you to get involved in the bus ministry. You say, well, I'd be uncomfortable with that. That'd be new to me. That'd be a real challenge to me. That's a little scary. I don't know if I know how I would do it. What would I do? It might be time for you to go forward. Somebody here needs to learn to be a soul winner. You say, oh, that gets me out of my comfort zone. Uh-huh, I realize that. I realize that, but if God wants you out soul winning on a Thursday night and you're not there, you're not as safe at home as you think you are, sucking up the air conditioning and eating potato chips. You're not as safe as you think. You say, but that's where I'm comfortable. Comfort doesn't mean safety. Ask Osama bin Laden. I don't care how well protected you are, being in God's will and moving forward, safety. There's safety there. And God comes to these people and says, if you go forward into the promised land, He's talking about the increasing of their Christianity, their belief in the promises of God. There's somebody here, you're thinking, well, I'm going to go forward and you're going forward with your will. The reason why some of you God's blocked is because it's your will, not God's will. But if you go forward in God's will, God provides safety. You go forward in your will, God won't provide that safety that you think is available. There's safety. There's safety. Step out. Somebody in here, it's time for you to decide. That's it. I'm going to go to Bible college and I'm going to start my education so I can get started on this thing of possibly going to the mission field or becoming a pastor, an assistant pastor. Somebody needs to step out. There's somebody that needs to step out in regard to your finances. You say, I've always been afraid. Hey, there's safety by stepping out and going forward. I've got good news for some of you. There's safety when the backslidden want to return. There is safety offered to the backslider who's returning to God. The Bible says in Luke 15:27, He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Received him safe and sound. This is the story of the prodigal son. And in the scripture, which is perfect, the scripture says when the prodigal son returned, remember, he had gone out and wasted his life and who knows what he had done while he was away. He returns and the Bible says he is received safe and sound. If you're here today and you're backslidden and you're away from God, there's safety by coming back to God. There's safety by walking this aisle. There's safety by getting on your face. There's safety by rededicating your life. There's a safety to it. Hey, yeah, maybe it's been tough, and maybe you've learned some very difficult lessons. Yes, that's possible, but the best place for you is to come back. There's safety in returning to God. You say, Brother Owens, I've got a few scars. Yes, you do, but this prodigal son, he's safe and sound. He's home now. He learned some tough lessons, but he's safe. He's home now. And God is, hey, did you know that God is not on the wall of righteousness shooting at the backslider who's returning? And neither should you and I be. Let the backslider return. He said, well, I'll teach him a lesson. Don't you worry. God's big enough to take care of it himself. God doesn't need to call upon you to teach a lesson to the backslider. And if you think you're going to teach the backslider a lesson, you obviously woke up this morning thinking that you were God. Because that's God's job. And let me say to the backslider, returning is the safest thing to do. Returning to God, returning to His will is the safest thing to do. You say, Brother Owens, if I return, does that mean that I won't be in trouble with God? Well, it'll mean this. He will help you through whatever trouble you have created for yourself. I'm very sorry, but there was more than one time when I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I did it, I'm guilty. She said, Jeff, I'm proud of you for telling the truth. Bend over. And I will see you through everything that we're about to discuss. In sign language. I wish I could tell you that by returning, God eliminates everybody. But He can't eliminate everything because He says there's a reaping and a sowing process. God has a way of diluting that reaping process. God has a way of helping you through that. And I'll tell you something, backslider. You're far better off returning to God because there's safety and there's a bunch of people that will help you through it. But knowing you need to return to God and not doing it, that's not safe. That's not the safe thing to do. And so it says of the prodigal son that he was received safe and sound. Finally, he offers us safety and salvation. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 26:1. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Walls. We've got, when you ask Jesus to save you, he becomes a wall around you. He's your bulwark. He's the one that'll keep you safe. He'll keep you safe. There's safety for the one that's born again. We'll never go to hell. We are born again. We're a part of God's family, a child of God. The verse that prompted the whole sermon this morning is, again, Psalm 4:8. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Are you looking for safety this morning? You can find it in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a little bit like the beginning of the sermon. Every time I give my grandson one of those life savers, rather than letting me get the lesson taught, he crunched it up, he bit into it. I never really got to teach the lesson, and that was up to him, not up to me. There are some of you, if you'll take what I've said today and you'll let it train you, if you'll listen to the lesson, it will still you, it will help you, it will calm you of your troubles. Some, you'll just be too busy living life, too busy enjoying life, maybe to let the lesson help you. It will help you. Who here would